Denver was hit with a humanitarian crisis due to a huge surge in people arriving to Denver from the southern border from Texas, primarily from Venezuela and Central America. And as a city, we literally had to drop everything and figure out how we were going to support people in the dead of winter.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and today I have a conversation with Tara Eckberg. Tara is the Director of Talent Acquisition for the City and County of Denver, Colorado. So, Tara, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great. Looking forward to this. Let's start out, if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit about your background, how you got started in TA, and maybe some of the roles that you've held leading up to your current role.
Yeah, absolutely. Talent acquisition was definitely not the career I had imagined for myself coming out of college and my master's degree, which is actually international education. I ended up falling into it because of a summer internship that I had at a national education nonprofit that's near and dear to my heart, TNTP. And eventually that role evolved into a role supporting grants. As that grant-based role came to an end, I started looking around for other opportunities within the company and ended up in a role on the recruiting team, really as an operations person, supporting placements and matches between some of our staff that work on a temporary basis and projects across the company. And then over time, I became more and more interested in the world of talent acquisition and how do we attract not only the right talent, but also do so in a way that's inclusive, do so with a process that values equity, and become a really core part of our organization's journey. So I was at TNTP for 11 years, and I held every position from that first staffing operations manager position to a typical recruiter position, senior recruiter, and then became the director of talent acquisition for 6 years. Briefly worked in the startup world for a company called Mergen. That is a brief foray that I took into a role that was broader than talent acquisition. And I think that role actually taught me that as I was seeking new opportunities after TNTP, it wasn't so much that trying to expand beyond talent acquisition. I was actually trying to focus on talent acquisition with some new and different challenges. And so that is what ultimately brought me to the city and county of Denver. I was born and raised here. So the city is very close to my heart. It's very important. And I want to be a part of seeing this city succeed because I think Denver is at a really interesting place as a city right now. And that's why I'm here and how I ended up here.
Yeah, great. Thanks for sharing that. If you wouldn't mind, share a little bit more about maybe the scope of your role and the size of the team. I know there's a diverse set of opportunities that you and your team recruit for. And so maybe share a little bit about that. That's pretty unique. And just scope that out for the audience.
Yeah, absolutely. As the Director of Talent Acquisition, I work in the Office of Human Resources, which supports all of what we call career service employees, of which it varies, but anywhere between 9 and 11,000, depending on the season. So that's how many employees we have. We actually recruit across 40 industries. We have over 1,000 different job titles that we recruit for at any given time. And so it is, when I say that variety, if there is one word I could describe my job, that is it. I have a team of 40 staff. Most of those are recruiters, senior recruiters, and recruiting supervisors. And then I also have an operations team that supports not only the application and candidate process, but also the pre-hire process. So all the way, I tell folks I am responsible for making sure everything happens up until their first day. And then after that, that is the rest of OHR's world, and that is their purview.
Thank you for that. Let's talk a little bit about maybe over the last couple of years, what are some of the key initiatives that you and your team have undergone that you're particularly proud of?
So I think a couple of things have happened that I'm particularly proud of and that I think are really unique to being in public service. When I started, we were starting down this path of really rethinking our processes and how we could become more efficient, how we could implement a more consultative model of talent acquisition within the city. And I started in October, and then at the beginning of December, Denver was hit with a humanitarian crisis due to a huge surge in people arriving to Denver from the southern border, from Texas, primarily from Venezuela and Central America. And as a city, we literally had to drop everything and figure out how we were going to support people in the dead of winter. So my team's role in that became not only supporting the Emergency Operations Center that oversees our emergency response, but also all of the hiring effort that needed to go into, you know, filling 200 positions in a matter of weeks to stand up shelters, because we didn't have them. We didn't have those staff in place. We had to really find a number of bilingual folks. And so that is something that I think is, again, unique about public service, is you can be headed down one path and then an emergency hits. And it is not only the city's job to be there, but it is also our team's job to be there in terms of being able to quickly pivot and recruit and onboard that talent as fast as we can, and do so in a high quality way that allows us to set up that operation. And so that went on for about a year, and actually culminated in about a year later, a second surge under our new mayor, Mayor Johnston. We were staring at a world where we had to hire, I think it was about 200 people, and we had about 10 days to do it. And within a week, we pulled off a huge hiring event, took people through the entire process, and were able to, again, get that operation, the staff that it needed to get through the winter. So that's one thing that I think I'm particularly proud of, is all of the work that has gone into, again, rethinking our model and how it can be more accessible. Our marketing team has been instrumental and building and refreshing our employment brand in a way that's going to really help us sharpen our employee value proposition for the future. And we've done through some restructuring and things with the team, really focused on aligning our recruiting team to the business and making sure that folks have a deep understanding of who they're recruiting for and why.
Yeah, that's great. One question I'd like to ask folks is, would you mind sharing a little bit about how you and your team, or maybe the organization, views performance of the TA? Maybe are there certain metrics or feedback loops or things that you utilize to determine whether TA is being successful and how it's performing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think some of the metrics that we focus on in government sometimes are not necessarily unique, but they take on different levels of importance. So for me, the very first metric that I was focused on was really bringing down the overall vacancy rate across the city. When I started, our vacancy rate was hovering around 20%, which means one in five full-time positions across the city was sitting vacant. That was as a result of, you know, when the pandemic hit, everything was frozen from a budget standpoint. So there was this massive buildup of positions in need. And then on top of that, you had the post-pandemic, you had the Great Resignation, which certainly impacted us. We had a lot of turnover. And then you also had an explosion, I think, in public dollars, too. So as budgets were growing, programs in government are often people, right? That's who makes these programs run. And so we had both growth and catch up happening at the same time. The first thing I was charged with was figuring out, how do we actually fill the positions that we have? That is where vacancy rate became a really critical for us to look at. And that has allowed us to actually strategically identify where our biggest holes were and where we had the most work to do to shore up critical operations across the city, whether it was a certain department at the airport or a certain job classification across the city. Ultimately, by being able to look at all of that, we were able to bring down the vacancy rate down to 11% at one point. It has since ticked back up because we are in a different budget crisis now than we have been in the past. But I think that will continue to be a really important part of how we evaluate success. We also look at things like time to fill. and some of your classic time to fill, looking at your funnel and your pipeline and source effectiveness. We also spend a lot of time thinking about the diversity, not only of our applicant pools, but how is that actually translating to hires, and then really evaluating hire quality based on a number of measures, whether that's hiring manager and new hire survey results, or looking at things like first year turnover. And then again, in government, we have you're on probation for 6 months. So we can also look at probation failure rates to give us an idea of how we're doing. We definitely look at the efficiency, quality, and diversity components as well.
That sounds great. Thank you for sharing that. So as we start looking forward from this point forward, share a little bit about what you and your team are focused on now, maybe a couple of key initiatives or big challenges. You mentioned you've got some new round of pressures, and a lot of people are focused on that as well. Yeah, what are some key initiatives for you right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's a couple of things. I think one, as a city, we had, as I said, it's an interesting time for Denver in that we, like everyone else, have to address the workforce challenges that are coming with what we all know is a shrinking workforce, right? Denver has largely been able to overcome some of that because we've had explosive population growth, but we are actually starting to see that plateau, not only in Denver, but the state as a whole. And yet, at the same time, we've also got the situation where statewide in February, we had something like 200,000 jobs open and 114 unemployed actively looking for work. Which means, you have two jobs for every one person, but that also starts to suggest you have a mismatch, right, between the skills that people are asking for in positions and what the skills are in terms of the workforce that is actually available. And so we've had one of the most highly educated workforces in the country, but most of that is actually people that have relocated here. We have not done as good of a job as a state and as a city investing and adequately preparing the people that grew up here. So that is a huge part of, as I think about our path forward, it has to be a huge part of our strategy is how do we not only create a more equitable hiring system that creates more access for people to apply and be successful in our jobs, but also thinking about how do we invest in things like community engagement to get people excited about the city as a possible employer and more programming around workforce development as an employer. Again, things like internships, apprenticeships, returnships that really grows and develops the skills that we need from future public servants and public leaders as a city. That is a massive part of the work. I think the second thing that we're going to be doing to address that is really sharpening our employee value proposition. So making sure that our marketing and our branding and our day-to-day recruiting messaging and processes and all of that is aligned. I think that city government occupies a really unique space in that you can work in public service, you can have a positive community impact, while having a really dynamic and varied career, all with one employer. We have to use the fact that we recruit across so many industries, 40 industries, as a real engine for people's development and career growth. And you can do that while actually retaining the benefits of working for a single employer over time. And I think we offer really robust development opportunities for people, especially early in their career as well. So being able to talk about that and send that message really consistently about what is it that makes working for the city unique. I think it's also very much, I'm very focused on our tech stack and thinking about not only what are the things that we need to do now to improve how we use our ATS, and we have an outside messaging vendor, those kinds of things that we use currently. So how do we maximize what we currently have and then also prepare from a budget standpoint, but also from a development standpoint for what AI is going to mean for the world of talent acquisition, because I think it's going to really transform the role of what we do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, those are three great initiatives. The third, obviously, I'm very focused on. That's everything that we do, but it's becoming more and more critical. I think people talk a lot about AI, and really your tech stack enables the service delivery that you want to have as an organization and makes it more accessible, makes it more efficient in a lot of the things that you talked about. So I think that's critical. Appreciate you definitely sharing those. And those are three big initiatives that align directly towards what the organizational needs are. So kudos to you on that.
That's great. Thank you.
Last question I would have for you is, what's some advice that you would have for others in the TA space? So it could be something that you've heard in the past, something that you tell your team, something that resonates with you around what you feel makes a successful TA individual or leader. Take it any way that you want.
I think the best advice that I've received, and I think I continue to focus on, is you've got to really know the work of the people that you are working with and have to have a shared investment in their success. I think without that, it is really hard to do the job of going out and finding candidates. And, you know, when we have, especially when we have situations where we're hiring hundreds of lifeguards every year, you've got to have a passion for what does it mean to make sure that our pools are open on time? And what does that mean for the experience of communities across Denver and their access to services? Because it can be a slog when you are going through such high volume hiring every single year after year. So I think having a connection to the work of the people that you're supporting is really critical, and being constantly curious about that and learning as much as you can and using that as your medium for influencing, I think is the way forward. I think the second thing I think about is also, I think I was fortunate, TNTP is an education nonprofit that is actually a consulting organization. So I so value being taught some of those core consultant skills, even though I was working in HR, because in HR, I think at the end of the day, we spend so much time in that consultant seat that honing some of those kinds of standard like client management skills and using data to influence and some of those kinds of things that you talk about as the skill set of a consultant are inherently incredibly valuable within TA.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It does point back to your process efficiency and leveraging AI and technology as that does a better job taking care of a lot of the transactional, freeing up time for the more strategic things like being consultative. You have to develop your team skill set and they have to develop to be able to be consultative and leverage those other skills to show more value.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think we're going to go away from being the people that actually do the screening to really advising on what an AI tool is spitting out to us and how do we actually leverage that to make good and better decisions about and better matches between people and jobs, which is what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Tara, thank you so much for sharing your journey today on the TA Leaders Podcast. I really appreciate you and think you did a great job.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Ryan. I appreciate it.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.